And good morning, everybody. It is a wonderful blessing to be here, and we have so many exciting things to look forward to today. We have a baptism this afternoon. You'll hear more about that. And also, we have a special Bible study at the Bascom Public Library at 1 o'clock. So those who would like to join us, you're welcome to join us. And it's going to be led by a very dear friend of mine. It'll be very exciting, and we have lots of exciting things on the agenda. I'd like to open with prayer again, because we are to be a house of prayer. So, Father, we just thank you so very much that you are our best friend and that you are with us everywhere we go. Everything we do can be done through you to make sure that it's done right. And so, God, we just worship you, we praise you, we thank you, and ask you to be with us now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I brought my best friend with me today. No, you all will be having an opportunity to touch him, because it's going to be shocking when you finally get to touch him. Let's take a look at John chapter 1, beginning in verse 29. And it says, the next day John, now this is John the Baptist, not John the one that wrote this book. This is John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look! Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And this is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. And I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me. The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Now, what's very interesting is we're going to see a lot about one of the disciples that Jesus had that was right there, that was included, that you probably didn't even notice. His name's Andrew, and I think we can all identify with Andrew, but we'll see as we go on. But this Andrew was the brother of Peter. You've heard of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. When James and John, they were the sons of thunder, boom, 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 they were just powerful. Everybody thought, man, they're really powerful speakers. And Peter was the one that gave the sermon on the day of Pentecost, and everybody came to hear what God had to say through him. But Andrew, he wasn't even mentioned. He was one of the two disciples, but he was the first disciple of the 12 disciples that followed Jesus, the first one. We'll see that as we go on. But Andrew had a very steady presence, and it helps us to see how God looks at us. As we sang in the song here about, we are the sheep of his pasture, because we are to be like Jesus. And he was the Lamb of God. So Jesus is the true Passover Lamb. Back in the Old Covenant, remember that they sacrificed a lamb? And this is all symbolic, because it's actually being fulfilled under the New Covenant, because Jesus became that lamb that was sacrificed so that we could be freed from all of our sins. But what's interesting here, it says Andrew is just standing nearby. This is the one that meant, a man who comes after me and has surpassed me was before me. And it says, John saw Jesus coming toward him. Now notice how Jesus was coming. There's just something about Jesus that we need to understand. Just like a lamb, Jesus is like a lamb in so many different ways, because a lamb has all these very gentle, humble qualities. And what happens? The lamb lays down his life, because he dies and we end up eating him. But of course, that's physically speaking. But spiritually speaking, God wants us to lay down our lives for him like he laid down his life for us. But what I did not realize until I prepared the sermon, that Andrew was a follower, one of the first followers of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was out preaching out in the wilderness, which was way outside of Jerusalem, a long ways out there. But people were going out there because of the way he was dressed and what he was saying. and prophesying that there was this Savior, this Messiah, which the word Messiah in Greek meant the first one who was coming. They called the word in the Greek Orthodox Church prokletos, the first called. And Andrew was the very first one to be called and the first one to say yes to Jesus Christ when John the Baptist said, "Here he is. Here is the Lamb of God," like it says here. John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming, verse 29, toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And so he was pointing everybody to the Lamb of God, and that is exactly what we need to be doing, because we are kind of like John the Baptist was. He was preparing the way for the first coming of Christ. Guess what we're doing? We are preparing the way for the second coming of Christ, which is going to be the most spectacular event in all of history, because that's when the body of Christ is going to be resurrected and brought up and become spirit and become joined together with our head, Jesus Christ, who is the head of the church. But notice that Andrew is involved here. It says, "The next day John was there again with two of his disciples." This is verse 35. "With two of his disciples, and when he saw Jesus passing by, he said again, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed him, and turning around, Jesus saw them following him and asked, 'What do you want?' And they said, 'Rabbi,' which means 'teacher,' 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' And so they went and saw that where he was staying and spent the day with him. And it was about the 10th hour, and Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two that heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. And the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him." Interesting. Because Andrew believed. He believed. He was listening to John the Baptist to begin with for a long time, because he was in the heart of wanting to have a relationship with this Messiah that was coming. And God wants the same thing for us. He wants us to have that kind of passion and desire to be with him, so that when he does come, we'll be with him forever. And Andrew went and looked after his brother and said, come and see this Messiah. But Andrew is not mentioned very often. You always hear about Peter and then James and John, because they wrote books. But Andrew didn't write any book. But he was a powerful instrument, and he was the first disciple that was called into the 12 disciples. So verse 41 says, "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon." In other words, he went and shared the gospel message. The gospel message is Jesus. He went and shared it with his brother first and foremost. Does that remind us of any scripture? Matthew 28, 19 through 20. And he says, "Go and make disciples of," before Jesus went back to heaven, he said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I will be with you forever. But go and make disciples." And that's what Andrew did right at the beginning. He wanted his brother to be part of it and to get to know this Lamb that was prophesied in the Old Testament that was coming to be the Savior of the world. And he said, "We have found the Messiah," that is Christ. But then he brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which translated is Peter. Now, Peter, sometimes we wonder, well, why did God change his name to Peter? Well, Peter means little rock, not Arkansas, but it means little stone. But he was very symbolic. But Jesus Christ, if you read 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, that rock that followed them in the wilderness was Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the big rock. And Jesus said, "I want you, Peter, to be a little rock." In other words, a little lamb, or a representative of Jesus Christ. But these are things that we understand when we look into the meaning of the words and what Jesus Christ knew long before Adam and Eve were even created. He had it all planned out. But it's just really fascinating how Jesus came, and he was the one that came to them. They didn't have to go to him. Jesus is coming to us. God says, many are called. Now, how do you get called? God is the one that calls. No man can come to me, Christ said, except the Father who has sent me calls him or draws him. Many are called, but few are chosen. The only ones that are chosen are the ones that come. And they are drawn into Jesus Christ and they follow. Where do they come? Today they come to church so that they can be a part of the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. And that's the beautiful thing. And it is not a building and it's not just people. It's those in whom Jesus Christ is living his life. And that's what's exciting. But Andrew was already a disciple of John the Baptist, and he had been listening, he had been learning, he had been waiting, just like you and me. He had been listening, he was very interested. Now, how do we listen to God today? The way you listen to God is reading what he says. And a lot of Christians today don't even open their Bibles. And we need to ask ourselves, how often do I open my Bible to read it? Is it only at church? Or is it all week long? Because that's what God is looking for. He wants people who are listening to him so that we can follow his instructions. Otherwise, if you don't read, then you're listening to destructions instead of instructions. But God wants to be close to us. Just like a lamb is precious and the lamb follows the shepherd. And Jesus is the good shepherd. But he's also the Lamb of God because God wants us to be just like that lamb who is gentle and kind and priceless beyond words. But this is what is very important to notice, that Andrew is the first to say yes to Jesus, but he was not the most gifted or confident. He was not the one that was out there trying to get attention and all that sort of thing. He was just working behind the scenes. That's who God wants us to be. Working behind the scenes, praying, caring, listening, watching, waiting, trusting, and doing what Jesus Christ asks us to do. So it's not always the miracles that, because there was all sorts of miracles that Jesus did and people followed him, but they didn't obey him and so on. The real key is obedience to God and listening carefully to what he has to say. Because God is working all the time in every person's life. They just may not see it yet. Because every single person on earth is made in the image of God, and he is teaching them lessons that they, when the time comes and God opens their eyes, they're going to say, how come I never saw that? But they weren't teachable, because I want to do what I want to do, and so on. And that's why it's important for us to pray and say, God, lead us to those individuals that you are working with that are teachable, that are humble, that are willing to repent, that are willing to follow me like Andrew did. When Andrew said, John the Baptist said, here he is, then Andrew immediately followed because he believed. That's why Jesus said, or Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So the question is, what are you looking for? And this is what he says in verse 38. Let's read that in verse 38, where he says, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? Because God wants to know where our heart is, and out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is going to speak. And Jesus asks the question, what are you looking for? What do you want? And, you know, what is it that brought you here today? You know, that's a good question to ask ourselves. What are you here for? Are you here just for food? Are you here just for fellowship? Those things are all good. God designed food for us. God designed fellowship. But are we here for the Lamb? Because he's the one that we need to, God says, to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the Lamb of God. And he wants us to become like him and like he was. But the beautiful thing about the disciples here in verse 38 is, notice what they said. Rabbi, which means teachers, where are you staying? They wanted to hang out with him. And that's what God wants us to do, is to hang out with him. And they spent the rest of the day together. And Jesus is the one that came to into their presence, because he's always there with us 24/7. But Jesus was coming and inviting them to be a participant in a relationship with him. And that's really helpful to know, that that's the kind of friend you want, is somebody who loves to be with you. and he wants to be with you 24/7. And so they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus, we say, well, you can come later. No, he says, come right now. Hang out. I want to be with you. Come, he replied, and you will see. And so they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. And it was about the 10th hour. So it was getting kind of late. But anyway, it was exciting to see that this is the way Jesus is. He's always inviting us. He wants us to be with them. And he says, come and see. Come and check it out. Because he loves relationship. He wants us to love him because he already loves us. Like the saying goes, enjoy God because he already enjoys you. But notice that they still don't know what they want. They just know they want to be with him. And that's the most important thing, is relationship. And this is what grace is all about. Grace is that invitation where God gives us something we don't deserve, to be best friends with the one who created everything. When we're with individuals who are teachable and so on, to share this with him, that we have a relationship with the one who created the entire universe and designed your brain and your heart and your body and your life and everything that you have. He made it. He made all the fruits and vegetables that you eat. This is the one that we are drawn into. And that's what true grace is. He welcomes them into his presence. And Jesus is so compelling and he's so trustworthy. They go and stay with him throughout the entire day. And that encounter changed everything in their lives. And that's exactly what happens, is when you have Jesus Christ come into your life, you're baptized and you surrender and you repent. In other words, turn around and go the way of Jesus Christ instead of the way of the world. That changes everything, because you're going in a totally different direction. You're going in the direction of the kingdom of heaven instead of the kingdoms of this world that are going to be destroyed and vanished and completely obliterated. And so that very simple day, what Andrew was doing along with John, actually John was the other one that was with him, not John the Baptist, but John the Baptist was the one saying, and so on. He said, just let's spend time with Jesus. Let's just hang out with him. And so God doesn't just come into this world to save us. He comes to spend time with us. He wants to be with us. He wants to hang out with us. And if we can begin to realize how inviting and welcoming that Jesus Christ is to you, rather than saying, oh, he wouldn't want anything to do with me because I'm a sinner. Well, there isn't anybody that isn't. But Andrew and John then sit with Jesus all afternoon, and their world is never the same. And Jesus Christ makes himself known to them who he really is. He was the Messiah that they were looking for. He was the Lamb of God that was prophesied to come. And he tells them that there, and they believed it. And that's why they became two of the first apostles that followed Jesus. And so Andrew, to just focus on him for a little bit, because he doesn't get a whole lot of attention. You don't hear a whole lot about Andrew, but Andrew was behind the scenes, and many of us don't want a lot of attention either, but God can use us and work in our lives behind the scenes, and that's what he's looking for. When we're praying, God is working. When you're working, you're working. But when you're praying, we should be praying without ceasing, then God is going to be working in our lives to fulfill his will in our lives. So Andrew's strength is not in his speeches, it's not in his miracles or anything like that, but it's in his presence, wanting to be with Jesus 24/7. He's simply there. He shows up. He's there when Jesus calls the first disciples. He's there when Jesus feeds the 5,000. He's there when the Greeks come and ask to meet Jesus. He's there at the Last Supper. He's in the upper room, and he's there after the resurrection. He's with them all the time. And that's what God wants us to do, is to be with him, to be like that sheep in the flock that's following the shepherd everywhere he goes. And he doesn't always speak, but he does show up. And so that's sometimes where the deepest form of faith is, really just to be there, to be in the presence of God and to be where God wants you to be. Even if you don't have all the answers, God can give us the answers. Sometimes God just wants you to be there to comfort others. And people will never forget that. When they're going through a crisis and you're there to comfort them, that's Jesus, the Lamb of God, working in you, because that's what a lamb does. He's full of humility and wants to be close to the shepherd. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are of the same mind. They want to be including us in everything that they do. And Jesus Christ said, "My Father who is in me, he does the works." And he wants us to realize that we not only have Jesus living in us, and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, but like the Holy Spirit is what we receive after the baptism and the laying on of hands. And the Father is in the Holy Spirit and in Jesus Christ. So we have the entire triune God. It's just incredible to be able to share this with people who are receptive, to let them know that you not only have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus living in you and the Father. It's just incomprehensible to realize what God is offering. And he warns us in many other scriptures, don't miss out on what God is offering here. Now let's take a look at John chapter 6, just a couple of pages. John chapter 6. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far sea of the Sea of Galilee. He went way across. He went from the Nazareth side, or the coast. Nazareth was further west, but he went to the entire other side of the Sea of Galilee. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. And when Jesus went up on the hillside, he sat down with his disciples, and the Jewish Passover feast was near. So this was just approaching the spring holy days. Verse 5, when Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Verse 6, now he asked this only to test him, or to give him an opportunity to see, where's your focus? Do you really believe in me, or are you just physically minded? Because he already had in mind what he was going to do. So he wasn't really asking him for advice. He was just wanting to let Philip know what was really important. And Philip answered him and said, 8 months' wages would not be enough to buy bread for each one of them to have one bite. So there was a little bit of doubt there. But another of his disciples, Andrew, he's the one that was quiet behind the scenes and kept his mouth shut most of the time, but he was Simon Peter's brother. He spoke up and he said, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves." Now, what in the world are 5 small barley loaves going to do for 5,000 people? Without a miracle. And 2 small fish. They weren't even big fish. "But how far will they go with so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." And there was plenty of grass in the place, and the men sat down, and about 5,000 of them. And it mentions elsewhere that wasn't counted. That was just 5,000 men, and there was also women and children. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. And he did the same with the fish. And when they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again into the hills by himself, because he had a different MO, modus operandi. He had a different mission that he was on, and he was going to become the savior of the world, not the emperor that was going to knock out all the other kings so that Israel could become the chief cook and bottle washer. But the word Andrew actually means warrior, if you look it up, which is fascinating, because God has called us to be fulfilling that similar role as well, because we are to be onward Christian soldiers, so to speak. But it's a small gesture that he made, but it shows that seed of faith that Andrew had in Jesus, which is what God wants us to have, is just to realize God can do anything he wants. You just have to believe that. And don't underestimate him, and one of the things that I've learned here more recently, and that is that there isn't anything you can't ask God for if you're seeking His will. And you can talk to Him all day long, and you'll be astounded at how God can intervene in ways that you think are almost irrelevant. But He wants us to pray about our attitudes, our thoughts, our feelings, our reactions, our emotions, and everything. We can be talking, because we all have reactions in overwhelming circumstances from time to time, and He can change all that. He can change. All you got to do is say, God, give me your attitude. Help me not to do this, or help me to do that, or whatever, because I want to be a light to everybody I meet. And you know what? Why wouldn't God answer that prayer? When you think about it, why wouldn't He? Because He wants you to be like Him. And if you're asking Him to help you to become like Him, why would He not do that? So it just helps to understand that those three words that we are told, pray without ceasing, is a lot more powerful than we think. And this is the way God is. He feeds 5,000 people, and that He does things that are so far, and all He wanted is to have a token. Like, we may not have a lot of money, but when we give even a little, God will multiply that many times over to accomplish. And it's not about money. It's about Jesus, about the Lamb of God and how He wants to work through us. And if you ask God to use you in some small way, He can turn it into the feeding of the 5,000. That's the kind of capacity and capability He has. And so Andrew's offering of 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish ends up being a part of the miracle that feeds 5,000 people. And that's often how God works. He takes what little we have and He turns it into an abundance that's beyond comprehension. Because God owns it all and He has overflowing generosity. So even our smallest acts can become part of God's great provision. So as we know, Andrew lives kind of in the shadow of his brother Peter, because you always hear about Peter, you know, and you always hear about, because Peter is bold, impulsive, and unforgettable, and he wanted to jump out of the boat and walk on the water because Jesus was out there walking. I don't see Andrew, trying that, but Peter was bold and so on. But Andrew was consistent and often unnamed, and that isn't a demotion, that is, it's discipleship. That is what being a disciple is following Jesus. And he is content to point others to Jesus, even his own brother. And that's what he's called us, go and make disciples. How do you do that? Point them to Jesus, because Jesus is the one who does the work. So it's very important to realize that every single person counts to God. Every single person that you know is important. And what we're doing when we're around every single person can bring light into that person's life when they see you doing something that most people don't do, and that is caring and praying with people that maybe would have never expected that, but they are receptive, and you can pray with them. Then watch what God does. And you'll see when you pray with someone that God does things that you would probably never have thought, because God's got greater thoughts than ours. As you've read the scripture, His thoughts are so much higher. They're higher than the heavens are above the earth compared to our thoughts. And so it's important to see that that quiet witness is a good, beautiful model that God has given to us as being the mission of the church. He says, come and see. That's really the heart of missional living that we have been called to do. When we invite others into friendship and so on, into conversation, into community and so on, we do what Andrew did. It doesn't have to be miraculous. It can just be letting God do the miracle. And all we need to do is be like the Lamb, very comforting and caring and following the leader and doing what Jesus did. Because God is always extending this invitation, and we need to let people know we love to be with them. And that's so important, because I've mentioned many times before, the number one problem in the world, most people think it's something like murder or abuse or whatever, the number one problem in the whole world is loneliness. Who would have ever guessed? When I heard that, I said, wow, I never even thought of that. But loneliness, people, a lot of people are just lonely. And when you step in there, you can be a light to that person. You can give them hope, and you can just let them know what has happened to you and how you've been delivered out of some of the most difficult situations that you've ever been into. And it's just amazing how God can work that out. I know we had a meeting yesterday over at Doc Meyer's home, and he lost his wife, Sherry, not long ago. But it was just amazing to see, because we spent all afternoon together over at his home, over in Tracy, and many pastors and many of those who had gone to Ambassador College when we had gone there and so on were gathered, and we were just sharing stories. And it ended up talking about the miracles that we have seen God working in our lives. And it was like, wow. Each one was sharing just voluntarily, nobody even asking anybody to share, that one person shared, and then, well, this happened to me, and this happened here, and this was a miracle, and that was, and look at this, and that, you know, it was just like, wow, look at all these amazing things that God has done, delivering us and helping us to get through situations that were incomprehensible to us when we were going through them. But it just shows that when we're fellowshipping together, we can build each other up in that most holy faith. Faith is where you trust God, because you say, well, look what he did for her. Look what he did for him. Look what he did here and there and everywhere and in your own personal life. If you keep a record, you could probably write a book of all the different things that God has done in your life. So it's very inspiring to realize this relationship we have with the creator of the universe is just off the charts. So the work of the Holy Spirit is often hidden and subtle and steady. But the thing is, when you see the outcome of it, you say, I know one thing. God had to do that, because that was not something that I even had a clue was happening behind the scenes. So God wants us to be like Andrew, and Andrew was like a sheep. Jesus was always behind the scenes. He was drawn to people. When he saw a woman who was at the well and needed help, he was there. He was helping people all the time. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be helpers. There's three things that I would like to bring out that Andrew teaches us here. And one is for you to understand that you matter to God. You are very important to God. He made you for a reason. And you may not know what the reason is now, but trust him. He knows what he's doing. He would not have made you for nothing. So do you long to be seen? God delights in steady faith more than public recognition. He's not interested in you becoming a big wing-ding thing. He wants to just know that you're on board with him all the way, and to spend time with him and let him know how important he is to you, because he made you and you are grateful and thankful for everything that he has given to you, because everything you have is a gift from God. You didn't earn it. You just think you did. He gave you the energy to earn it, but he gave it to you. It's a gift. It's called grace. So number one is understand that you matter to God and you're very important to God. And he comes to you. You don't have to go out of your way to find him. He's already there. You wouldn't be alive if he wasn't living in you, because he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But when you become converted, then Jesus Christ becomes active in your life in a way that is spiritually revealing, and you begin to see, wow. You see a whole different spiritual dimension instead of just a physical one that's been there all your life. Number two, offer your loaves and your fish to God. That may all you have. You may not have much, but whatever you have, offer it to God, because he can multiply that thousands of times over, like he did the five loaves and the two fish that little boy had. And so don't wait until you have enough, you know. Share it with others. When you share with others, God multiplies that for you. So go out of your way and place it in Jesus' hands, because he is the one that takes it and blesses it. Because they brought him those five little barley loaves, and he is the one that turned it into a feast. number three, what we learn from Andrew, who is very much like Jesus, being behind the scenes, but just be present, be involved, be present. The world doesn't need more noise. It needs more presence. It needs more love and care and kindness and gentleness and meekness and humility and self-control, where we are using our time for the glory of God. Be there for people, to listen to them, to love them, then point quietly to the Lamb of God. Show up in your neighborhood and offer, come and see, you know. That's why we're starting that Bible study over in the Bascom area and inviting them, and we'll be passing out Bibles in that area so that those people can have access, and let them know about the study that's starting there Sundays at 1 o'clock at the Bascom Public Library. And Jose is leading the Bible study. He did an awesome job last week, and I thank God for him. But Andrew's life is proof that the story of God is not just about heroes in the spotlight. It's about those who are willing and present to go to work for God. And Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, and he steps into our world. He's always been there, but he steps into our work. He steps into your personal life and into your business or whatever. But he just says, come and see. See what I can do for you. Because he wants to work in your personal life. But you have to do what Andrew did. And Andrew pointed his brother to the Messiah, to that Lamb, and come and see. Let's check it out. And so he's still calling. He's still gathering. And he works in places that nobody would ever expect. But he wants you to live your life as a quiet pointer to the Lamb of God. And then that way, the light of the world, who is Jesus, will be shining through you. So I'd like to conclude with a scripture here in Isaiah 49, 1 through 7, that if you don't have the Holy Spirit, what I'll be telling you that this is saying, you'll say this is crazy. But let's take a look at Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 7, and look at what this says. Listen to me, you islands. He's talking about islands all over the world, like Sweden has over 300,000 islands around the island, but they're little bitty islands about the size of this chair. But whatever. Listen, you islands all over the world. Hear, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. Because God calls every one of us. Many are called. But the reason few are chosen, because many people are not really paying attention. They're just more interested in self-ishness. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name, and he made my mouth like a sharpened sword. Because God can use us. If we speak the right words, he can give us wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, what do? James 1, verse 5. Ask, and he'll give it to you. Seek, and you shall find. You seek in the Bible. Knock, you knock on the door. Jesus says, I am the door. That's how you gain wisdom. Tells you right here. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword, because the word of God is like a two-edged sword. You've got the truth is able to cut right to the chase, get to the real heart and core of what loneliness is, so that somebody doesn't ever have to be feeling lonely again, because they've got the creator of the universe living inside them. And they say, I had no idea. Wow. Thank you for sharing that with me. I had no idea that this was the truth, and you show it to them in the Bible. That's what this is telling us here. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished quiver and concealed me in his quiver. And he said to me, you are my servant, Israel. Now I say, oh, that's talking about Israel. You know who Israel is? You have to read the new covenant. If you are in Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. Who was Israel? Israel was the grandson of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Jacob had his name changed to Israel. He was the one being referred to, and God says, if you are Christ, and Jesus Christ is living in you, you are who they're talking about here, Abraham's seed, who is Israel, in whom I will display my splendor. How is he going to do that? When Christ returns, you're going to be glorified. You're going to be looking like Jesus did in his resurrection. You'll be able to traverse space at the speed of thought and all sorts of amazing things. Not that that's what it's all about, but it's just God's going to give you incomprehensible capabilities. It says, in whom I will display my splendor, because we're going to reign with him over the earth. But I said, I have labored at no purpose. This is what most people say, you know, well, what am I doing? I don't even see anything like this. I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand. Well, it's up to God what he's going to do, but I'll just keep on trucking or whatever. And my reward is with my God. But now, the Lord says, he who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. God wants the body of Christ to be joined to the head and married, because when the first thing that's going to happen when Christ comes back, we're going to meet him in the air, and there's going to be a wedding supper. We're going to be joined to our head, Jesus Christ, and be his body as spirit beings, and we're going to have a feast. Don't ask me what it's going to be like, because it's going to be in a whole different dimension. It's called heaven. But heaven will be on earth, and heaven is wherever God is, and he's going to be with the saints, and they're going to be joined together, and there's going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. Like it says here, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. God's saying, that's nothing. We think it's wow to bring back all of these people in the first resurrection. That's almost like nothing compared to the next verse. Look what he says. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. The whole earth is going to become heaven. It's going to be made up of spirit beings who are going to be reigning with Christ and owning the universe, because it's going to be a new heavens and a new earth when Jesus Christ has finished his work. This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel. That's God's people. To him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see you and arise. Princes will see you and bow down. Because kings will be coming from all of the other nations to come to Jerusalem, like they did back in the days of Solomon and David and so on. But it's going to be a whole different ballgame when the church and the body of Christ is Jerusalem. I saw a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. That's enough to melt your mind till it turns to soup and pours out your ears. Because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. Wow. And Father, we just thank you very much that you have such a future in store for us, and we couldn't ask for a better friend. And God, we're not so unworthy, but you have made us worthy. And because it's your worthiness that gives us the relationship that will last forever and ever. And so God, we worship you, we praise you, we thank you, and just work through us for your glory, God. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you now and forever. Amen.